Hello, I'm Sophie Black, and this is my podcast, The Trap Door, so called because a friend of mine once described having children as like falling through a trap door into a world you never thought you'd end up in. That's how it felt for me. I am sitting here under my duvet, trying to block out the sound from the A23. In Brixton, which is what I live on, which is a very, very busy road. It's very noisy, sirens and buses and motorbikes going up and down all the time. The motorbikes are kind of like, not just a motorbike, like a kind of, I wonder if there's like a Harley Davidson or kind of Mettler type crew that actually plan, you know, joint, I don't know, small penis trips up and down my road on a weekly basis. Big shout out to those guys. I've just been turfed out of a cafe, which is where I was initially positioned, because it closed like at 4 o'clock. What kind of cafe closes at tea time anyway? The kind of hipster cafe that are so popular nowadays, where you've got like 8 hipsters dancing behind the counter and no one's getting served. Anyway, I was in that kind of cafe, of which there are quite a few in Brixton nowadays. Listen to me. Anyway, my guest this week is the luminous, wonderful, amazingly talented Daisy Haggard. Actor, comedian, writer, you'll know her from Episodes and Uncle. She has recently written and stars in her new series Back to Life, which I've seen a little bit of and looks absolutely brilliant. So look out for that. She very kindly came to talk to me a few months ago. And anyway, I hope you enjoy it.
Hello, Sophie.
Hello, Daisy.
Thank you for talking to me about giving birth, because this is all about your birth story. No,
I love talking about my vagina.
Well, you've come on the right podcast.
This is a vagina podcast, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Good.
Just about
that's
your vagina,
why I'm
no
here.
One else's.
A vajodgirl. Excuse me. As you were. I'm not going to talk about that.
Please don't.
Okay.
Awkward. So, what I wanted to ask you first of all is, how did you find out you were pregnant?
So, I had wanted to get pregnant, but I didn't. I was very lucky. It was incredibly quick that time, so I was very lucky. But I was also like incredibly shocked, and then sort of my head was spinning the whole time. And Joe, my husband, who hadn't ever wanted kids particularly or anything, I was like, you're going to freak out. He was like completely cool, and I was like, I'm freaking out. And that's basically what happened.
What was your idea, like, when you pictured, did you know you'd always wanted to have a family, and how had you pictured that? What did that look like?
It slowly went down from sort of 10 children to like 2 as I got older and older and older. But basically, yeah, I come from a really big family and a big noisy family where there's always lots of food cooking and noise and mess, and I wanted that. I wanted to have a big noisy family. And then and then slowly I was like, oh, actually, maybe not 5, maybe not 4, maybe not 3, maybe not 2, maybe just 2 or 1. And so I just knew I wanted to do it. I don't really know how I pictured it apart from noise and laughing and fun. I think you also forget how you pictured it once you've done it, slightly. Yes, you have to really think about it. Because I don't think I think you kind of, it's replaced with the truth.
I think I would sort of imagine that the way I brought up my kids was going to be completely different from the way my parents did it.
Oh, yeah.
And then quite sort of territorial and go, but they have to. We have to go on biking holidays.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And that kind of annoying way. That's true. And also the judgment of other people when their kids are like being noisy and you haven't got them. You're like, oh, my God, my kids are definitely not going to be like that.
Yeah.
And then they are.
I think they're
Yours are particularly bad.
Yeah.
They are terrible. But yeah, all those moments that you've judged people as well come flooding back to you. You're like, yeah. Oh, bloody hell.
That's what I was going to say, actually, later on. So maybe I ask you now. But
So I've ruined
so
it.
So I've ruined the I have a plan talk. And no, I was going to ask you, is there anyone, because I feel like there are people that I feel more benignly towards. Now I've had kids, I feel a bit guilty about judging people in the past, certain people in the past. Mm. And then I feel, then there are other people where I kind of look back and I think, oh, they were really bad and I didn't realise how bad they were. Do you have any of that?
Yeah, I suppose there are things that you just don't know about. And so you have this vision of how your life will be, which is just not true, or how you will be in a situation which is just not true because you don't know yet. And then I don't have anyone that I look back and go, oh, they were evil. And I used to look after kids a lot and I used to judge away at a few at a few like really spoilt, really, really spoilt children. I didn't judge, actually, that's not fair. I didn't judge away, but I've become increasingly shocked now looking back at some of those, thinking about what that meant, like a parent that tried to give me money before I turned up every time, so I would buy her child a really enormous present every time I went to babysit, so that I would always only turn up with a gift. And I, at the time, I instinctively thought that was wrong, so I don't think I've changed my view.
Exactly,
but now I'm like, my God, that would really mess up. I look at my children and imagine me going, please, please bring bring her a princess toy, because I could just see what a horrific monster she would become so easily, how easily she could be destroyed by me. And I probably is currently being destroyed by me, isn't
well, we in all, a different way.
We're all terrible.
But there are some things. I used to babysit for a family whereby they would leave, but they would leave in a kind of, well, it's all right. It's all right, David. Mummy's going now, but I love you so much. And then she'd hug him like she was like leaving him for 5 years. And he would get more and more worked up because it was really terrifying.
Yeah.
And I remember just being about 14, 15, looking at her thinking, just leave, just fucking leave. It's going to take me hours to undo this. But now
when
I leave my kid, I understand it more. But when I leave my kids, because I remember that, I don't want to be that person. Literally just go bye and walk out the door.
There you go.
Because I'm like, I don't want the babysitter to not to like me.
Yeah.
So that I actually, they're going to be scarred.
No, it's true. Sometimes doing a bit of nannying makes you I'm so thoughtful to my nanny in a way, like, walk up, but anyone that's babysitting in a way that I'll be like, I will not come back in between.
Yeah.
And I end up like me and my husband, like hiding behind our house, like climbing in through windows to go and collect something rather than disrupting anything.
Yeah.
Because you're so scared of, being.
That is quite good for them, I think, probably. Yeah.
It's amazing. I'm amazing.
Exactly. You're really good. So, what I wanted to ask you, in terms of being an actor, when you got pregnant, presumably you had to keep it. I mean, most people keep it secret for a bit.
Yeah, I'm a terrible, terrible liar or secret keeper. Like the worst in the whole world. Just can't not tell the truth. So I just hide. Because if anyone asks me, I won't be able to do it. But I ended up not being able to keep a secret at all for very long. And then we confessed, we told everyone who was the creators of episodes, who very, very sweetly just wrote it in that I was suddenly, the next day, 9 months pregnant, because it was between series and I think only a few days had passed between the actual story, in story days. So they just wrote it in, which was amazing. And then I was filming Uncle 6 weeks after the due date, and I just told them. And I was terrified about that. And then I just filmed with a 6-week-old baby. And it was incredibly naive of me looking back, really, because I could have had a much worse sort of like post-birth experience. But, I was okay.
But so tell me about, I mean, you've told me about that. It's but tell me about that, because that is like, that is pretty hardcore. And I wouldn't have known that either before or at the time.
Well, I think I didn't sort of, didn't know all the things that could have gone wrong, you know, with the birth, actually. So I was very lucky that, none of that happened. Because I had friends in the same situation who were sort of, you know, having a bit much harder time physically. But no, it was very weird. I was fully breastfeeding and just had her with me the whole time. And I'd sort of get up at 5 a.m, go to work with little Elsie. And I had someone helping, my mum and then Joe, and like just a mixture of people coming with us. We had a caravan because the budget was huge. A little VW. I'd basically breastfeed, and then just as the sort of hormone that was released, that way you'd want to basically go to sleep, happened, I would have to run onto set and do a scene, and then I'd run back, and that's basically what I did for 6 weeks or something, 7 weeks.
That actually makes me want to cry a little bit.
Weirdly, it was all right. Weirdly, it was okay. It was really hard and tiring, but also it was sort of exhilarating, and it sort of delayed my reality of being a mother in a way. Like I was fully there, and that's why I was like, I can breastfeed, so I will, because otherwise I could have just not been there for the whole day, and you know, with her.
So
it was good that I did that, because it meant she was with me all the time.
Yeah.
But it was a sort of extraordinary whirlwind. And then it was after that that I had my kind of like, oh, my mother. Like, you know, I had those sort of moments kind of seeped in slowly, and I felt really tired afterwards.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was up all night. And
also, I guess at that age, they're still sleeping quite a bit, maybe?
Yeah, so what I did is I had it in my contract that I could breastfeed whenever I wanted, and basically I don't think she was pretty much awake when I wasn't there. So I would feed her to sleep, and then I'd go film, come back. They were very thoughtful on Uncle and really sort of helped me and made sure I could do that. I think one time somebody tried to put some pressure on me to go back and do a scene, and I was like... this almighty tear flood thing happened, and they looked so frightened, and then they couldn't clean my face up for ages, so no one ever did that again. I was like, if you put any pressure on me, this is what's going to happen. And I think they realised what an intense volcano of hormones I was seeing.
How did you learn your lines?
I don't know. I don't think I did very well. I watched it the other day, and I was like, I watched a bit of it. I don't sit and watch myself all the time. But I saw a little bit of it, and I was like, yeah, I'm not going to watch that. I think I'm a bit shit. So series
That's
two.
Okay. Right.
I think I'm not as good. I'd look at them. I just sort of looked at them and then was like, well, I hope these come out. I didn't worry about anything as much, which is quite liberating.
So after that series, and you were sort of then in sort of deep in motherhood, and kind of it was all hitting, how did that feel, and how did that change you or your perception of you?
I don't know. I think it's ever evolving. I think I now feel like more of a, like it happened, sort of, I thought it would just, you become a mum and then you feel like a mum and then it stops. But it's like, I'm astounded at how much more of one you keep feeling. That makes sense. Now I've got two kids and I'm like, oh my God, I'm even more of a mum. I feel it just keeps growing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in terms of work things, it just gave me the confidence to be as picky as I really wanted to be. And to go, I mean, financially you have to, not me, but in terms of like, if I'm going to be away from a child, then it's got to be worth it.
Yeah.
And you know, just it's just a whole different part of you that starts to evolve, really, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I felt that definitely the way I saw my career was much more. It was just so much clearer.
Yeah.
You know, it was just, you know, I'd been coasting for quite a while and doing lots of different things and kind of just on a little bit of a treadmill in as much as you can be on a treadmill when you're self-employed. But I sort of felt like that. And then having kids was just like, well, I don't want to be. There's no way I'm going to be doing that. I was so focusing.
Yeah, it really felt also this myth about it's astounding to me that we kind of, that people give mothers a hard time in terms of work, because by God, the amount you get done in an hour.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I had hours lying around on my fat ass in my flat going, oh my God, it's really hard to do some writing today because Sophie wants to have a coffee and then I might have to go for a rip and watch a film. And I just can't get anything done and it's really hard. And now, like, I have like 40 minutes and I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing. Yeah. Like, I'm astounded by the sort of other part of you that kicks in.
Yeah.
And, you know, you learn to just go, I've got 3 hours, I've got to write something, I've got to fucking do it. Yeah. Like, go and do it.
Yeah. Well, it's that phrase, baby brain, which is sort of so derogatory and irritating. And actually, on the one hand, I do. So I actually had a conversation with Anna Crilly recently, genuinely really, like, discussing how I would know if I had some kind of problem with my brain.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because I do sometimes feel like I'm not as... I often feel like I'm not as sharp. I don't remember stuff. And it's irritating when that happens. And then people around you go, oh, baby brain. And then when you flip that and you go, actually, I am thinking, like you say, I'm thinking of 8 million
No, it's just that you've got so much more in your brain that other stuff does fall out.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, like, there is something, I hate the term baby brain, it's so annoying, but there's definitely a thing post-birth or something, just tiredness, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where, like, there's things you can cope with and can't cope with and things that you can't connect with. And I remember, like, we had Joe used to just howl with giggles about, like, me trying to watch telly after I'd had Elsie. And, like, Wolf Hall was on and I was just like... Mark Rylance would come on doing his exquisite thing and I'd be like, is he good or is he bad? And Joe was like, it's ambiguous. I was like, then turn it off. Just turn it off. It's ambiguous. I can't do it. Like, is he a goodie or is he a baddie? Why is he doing that
just
face?
Just tell me.
What is that face?
There should be a subtitle as he walks on.
It's too complex. Goodie. It's too complex. And why is there all this silence? And then I'd put on X on the Beach and I would be like, oh, this good. He's fingering her. I know exactly
what's going on.
I'm safe. So I went through that phase.
Yeah,
sure.
No, that's quite good. I think it is. There's something about, going back to the baby brain thing, that if you're a writer, I don't know, there's something to do with creativity as well, and that actually maybe you are more productive and creative.
Well, it's funny because, I didn't write when I just had Elsie. I acted, so it was different. And then this time I've had to write with, I've had Wendy and I had to write and I had to slightly pretend to everyone that I hadn't really had a baby and it was totally fine. I had to write a pilot and I had someone else, I had Laura was help, you know, was writing with me. So I wasn't alone, but that was different. It was kind of harder and easier at the same time, if that makes any sense. Didn't have the luxury of time for ideas. I was like, but there was a sort of like a fierce kind of, I have to do this.
In what way was it easier?
It was easier, weirdly, because it was so hard. It was so hard, and there were so few hours to do it that it was somehow easier because in the 2 hours I would actually do it. So maybe if I'd had all the time in the world, it would have taken me longer. You look back sometimes and you think, I can't believe I managed to do that. And then, weirdly, now I've got time and I've got some help and I walk away from two kids and I'm finding it a bit harder.
Yeah,
but to actually deliver, because maybe there's less pressure or something. I don't know. Maybe I'm just one of those dickheads that needs everything to be really horrific and then I'm like, ah!
I don't think you are.
Thanks, babe.
Yeah, I don't think you are one of those dickheads. When I had kids, I felt like my relationship with feminism was just suddenly like the fire went into that in a way that it had always sort of been there, but it was like, and that's not putting down my husband. It was just kind of like realizing what was expected of us. And like what we're capable of. And
I think if you're trying to do that and work and, like, in my case, at times support us and all that sort of stuff, like, you do just go, Jesus Christ, like, what?
It's kind
doing
of incredible.
So much stuff.
Yeah.
There's
a lot going on. You feel like I'm kind of working harder than I've ever worked, like you say. You know, I'm
which
not
is exhilarating.
Which is exhilarating and amazing, but at the same time, I'm doing it on less sleep than I ever had. I'm doing it on, you know, kind of less confidence because my body's not how it was and all that kind of stuff. And I found it, and then in amidst a sea of comments like baby brain or
all that crap,
you know, you're gonna do that,
or him indoors,
and all that kind of stuff, and you're just like, oh my God, I found that really hard.
It's weird.
Has it kind of made you reevaluate, I don't know, your the roles within your relationship or male female kind of dynamic?
I suppose I relate to what you're saying, which is that you suddenly, but I also, well, I think it made me realise that I am probably more of a control freak than I think I thought I was, which is that yes, that's happened a little bit, but also that's my doing. Like, I'm married to someone who would do lots more if I said, will you do it? But I actually probably want to slightly put the kids to bed, he puts the kids to bed, you know what I mean? I probably want to be central to more than I would admit to. And I could easily go, oh God, I'm just doing so much. But actually, probably if I was like, oh, hey, probably if I'd asked earlier, you know.
Yeah. I was talking to someone about that yesterday, actually, which is exactly that, which is kind of like when you sort of do everything, you know, if you're breastfeeding especially, yeah, you know, you're doing things from the beginning. And so then, and your baby kind of changes so much and so quickly,
yeah,
that then you get used to doing it a certain way. So you sort of don't want to waste time with your partner.
You don't end up not explaining stuff.
Yeah, it's too quick. Yeah. Like, I'll do it, it'll be quicker.
But that,
and actually that's the worst thing.
Yeah. Well, you have to let people do stuff.
Totally.
Like, and you can't like not let someone help you and then get annoyed with them.
No, exactly.
That's not fair.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's very true.
But I'm really lucky. You know, I'm married to somebody who's really helpful and, like, you know, will do and does loads of stuff. And it's ever since that amazing gender war article in The Guardian.
Yes.
That's brilliant.
That's so
mind loading. Ever since Jay read that, he's a god. He's like, I'm going to mind load that. And I'm like, I love you.
I showed my dad that article. I'm going to explain, first of all, for anyone who doesn't know what we're talking about. There was an article in The Guardian. It was actually a cartoon, it was a French cartoon. Which described the mental load of that women have in the house generally, and or men, not necessarily women, but the primary carer of children and whatever. And so the argument is that if this was a job, you're essentially project managing the house.
Yeah.
So not only are you feeding the kids and changing their nappies and whatever, you're also having to make a mental note of, right, we need to buy some more, we need to take the washing out, put it in the dryer, I need to buy some more washing up liquid, I need to do all these things, plus your job. Mm. Whereas men tend to not share that mental load and go, but you didn't tell me to do it.
And it's the enduring image of that is a man and a woman on the sofa watching telly, and he's just watching telly.
Yeah, and she's thinking
about like ordering cotton buds.
Yes, and
that side of things can be a bit like, oh God, I just love to.
Yeah, just be able to be. Yeah,
but then also, would I really like someone else to order the cotton buds?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, that's the thing, and it is the argument of that, which is if you do that, you have to accept that they're not necessarily going to do it in the same way that you're going to do it.
Yeah. It's relinquishing control.
Yeah.
And acknowledging the control that you sometimes...
Yes, exactly. So, but I found that very useful. I showed that to my dad, who got completely confused with it and then started calling my stepmother his boss. But like, he was saying, no, I'm the boss. That was it. He was saying, I'm the boss.
And you're like, no, you've totally missed it.
The whole point is, literally, you don't even understand. But yeah, it was very interesting. Article. So how's that, reading that article, how's that?
Oh, is it? Well, I think it was really clearly put. There's a few, but you know, bits that slightly maybe patch, like a couple, one moment of it was a bit patronising to sort of, I was trying to explain to him, this is not how I see you, or this is not how I see, like there's a bit where a guy just takes a bottle out of the dishwasher, doesn't empty the dishwasher, whatever, and that's not something he would do.
No.
Like, he's
so much
more tidy and organised and clean than me. I mean, God, I'm the messiest asshole to live with in the world, and that guy runs around after me going, oh, Jesus Christ, Daisy. So that just does not apply to us for one second. But it was really interesting, just the concept of mind loading. I think it really clicked, and honestly, it was amazing since then. Like, it really just went, oh God, yeah, totally got it. It's like, that's not fair. Let me help. And ever since then, has been really brilliant at sharing the brain load.
Yeah. The other thing I was going to ask you was, has being a parent affected the way you see your parents or how you were raised?
Yeah, it's made me feel more more fond of them. As in, it's made me go, oh, okay, right, that's how much they loved me, right, okay, they loved me, whatever, you know, oh, okay. And, yeah, I just feel quite lucky. Less, I'm not that I was really angry or bitter about my upbringing. I've always felt quite good about my upbringing. But I suppose it makes you, yeah, it does make you go, oh, I don't know. I sort of look at my mum and go, wow, actually, my dad was away a lot, and she was really like on her own with us a lot, and she did really, really well. That's quite intense. You know, it makes you look at their relationship and the way they've done it, and I felt quite sort of moved by it, really, because it connects you in a different way to your family, doesn't it?
Yeah,
how have you
totally.
Found that?
There was a really interesting thing. I actually stopped watching it because I found it too hard to watch. But Handmaid's Tale recently. And there's a line where she said, you know, I hope I... You know, there's an episode where she sort of showed that there was a lot of anger towards her mum. And then she does something where that her daughter could take to be quite selfish. When in fact you, as a viewer, relate to her, you know, why she's doing it. And she said, I hope I, you know, I now forgive my mother in the hope that my daughter will forgive me, you know. And it's that, obviously,
that's an extreme situation.
But it is that thing where you suddenly go, and it is, and maybe it is about love, you know. I think
you realise the love. Don't
yeah.
You?
And you, oh my God, yeah. I look back, my mum was a single mum.
Oh my God, yeah.
And, you know, had quite a messy divorce. So there was a lot of anger and pain and all of that kind of stuff. And, yeah, and you look back and you think, essentially, there was just love there. There was a lot of pain, and real difficulty.
Well,
and
you
stuff.
See how hard it, you suddenly go,
but
oh, my God,
go,
that must
oh
have been
God.
Really hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello?
I mean, you did two really fast, man. Like, you did it. You did the thing. You did the scary thing.
I did the stupid thing.
No, you didn't do the stupid thing. You did an excellent thing, but my God.
If there's anyone listening, thinking about getting pregnant when they have a 4-month-old baby, just don't be so stupid.
But also do it. She's getting it over and done with. It's all great. She's fine. She's happy. It's fine. But yes,
I mean, do you know what? I think people say that to you to make you feel better. I genuinely think the first year of that is so
hard.
I just can't believe that it's going to be as good as that was bad in, say, 5 years' time.
God.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it was so hard.
This is like the contraceptive podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
It sounds like a giant condom.
I remember someone saying to me, who has the same age difference, and I remember her sending me a message when she found out I was pregnant, and she went, hi. And it was just a real, like, heartfelt, lovely, and I think she checked in with me a few times, and I was like, yeah, I mean, I know, we're crazy, but I didn't know we were crazy, and I didn't know what we were up against, and I think she was just kind of going, oh, man.
Do you feel like that now?
Feel like that.
As in, like, with the, what's it like now?
Now it's so much easier, but it's still intense. It's just way easier than it was, so I'm fine.
Yeah.
So, like, I know...
2-in-1 now, is it?
Two and one. So I know that when I take them somewhere where people only have one kid or they have a bit more of a respectable sort of age gap, then people are still a bit free... Like, I know that I make them tense with the intensity of having these two quite... you know what I mean? Baby toddler... Yeah. Kids, and I feel quite, and I sort of think, that's not even like I'm used to it now. I'm used to being the person.
I think
who,
going to small confined spaces with young children is so, sphincter tightening.
Yeah,
I just went to a surprise party and we drove to Whitstable to my best mate Beth's party, and you know, Elsie's 3 and she's amazing, but she's so independent and free spirited. She is the kid. I mean, that's one way of putting it. And that she is the kid who, like, all these kids around the same age were sitting at a table just with, like, drawing, colouring in. And she's just like, you just turn around and she's not there. And she's like way down the beach, like, just, I mean, talking to the sea and throwing, like, having an amazing time and just having the time of her life. But she will just run
and
disappear, and she's got no fear. And the, just the constant, like, terror. The relief when you shut the front door and you've got your garden in your house and you're like,
and
your
space. Just, and you can just, like,
oh, God,
out.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Here, we're talking to something upstairs. But my God, like...
It's very funny.
You just, like, have this sweat, and there was a couple of, like, glamorous friends from school who haven't had kids sitting there, like, with their champagne trying to engage me in conversation. I was like... Excuse me, where's Elsie? Oh, God, no. Oh, she's angry. Elsie's angry now. Elsie's feeling a bit angry. Oh, God, she's a bit angry.
And do you want to prove... Because I feel like, and this is probably worse, in that situation, I want to prove to the beautiful people who are drinking Prosecco and haven't had children that it's all fine and it's relaxed and I'm still the same old me.
Yeah.
But I kind of find that quite stressful. I find it easier just to be able to run after my kid.
I think it's just, you just got to go. Look, you guys look amazing. I have a film of sweat. I haven't really applied my makeup properly. One of my tits is probably hanging out, I think. Like,
and I don't care.
And I just don't. I haven't got time to give a shit because that kid's about to go into the sea.
Yeah.
And I think you just go, I'm in the whirlwind of chaos moment, and you're going to watch a lovely DVD at 4 PM that's not got a Disney princess in it.
Yes.
That's just the way it is, isn't it?
I plucked my chin hair on the tube. I've now done that twice. Because the first time I did it, I was going, and everyone was looking at me. And I was thinking, well, I don't have time to do it. I want to pluck it before I go. I can't remember where I was going.
You're doing that?
I was feeling that. I was like, oh. And I had some tweezers in my makeup.
Oh, that's fun. Oh, you got the tweezers out?
Got the tweezers. Oh, not that. That, like, just picking it out. No, anyway.
I spent my life doing that.
Yeah, I do that. No, I got a mirror and a pair of tweezers.
On the tube?
On the tube. It would have been me going from Brixton into town to do something. Like, it would have been...
Did you have someone opposite you? Is my
question. Oh, yeah. Like, there were lots of people on...
Yeah, you weren't,
that,
like,
was the
alone.
Thing. I was aware, as I was doing it, that if I told...
That you'd crossed a new low. You'd gone to a new low.
Yeah, if I told myself, even 5 years ago, that I'd done that...
Yeah.
I would have been absolutely horrified. But then there was a kind of quite sick enjoyment of the fact that it was like, I'm
sort of liberating
myself.
Giving less of a shit,
it's
isn't
like,
it?
I really don't
It's like
care.
Being a bit fatter and going, oh God, you know, yeah. There was a point where I was like, I will never ever be over 9 stone. And then you're like, I will never be over 40.
Well, I will never not have this raclette.
Yeah, exactly. I will never be the person that says I will never be over 9 stone again because I just don't give a shit.
Yeah. But yeah, plucking my facial hair on the tube.
That's good.
It was pretty...
I feel like I've done something like that recently, but I can't remember it, so it's a terrible story.
I'll put
that in the trailer,
Find out.
Will
she remember?
Totally real woman.
Will Daisy remember?
Did
what
Daisy
she
do
did?
Something revolting in public? I mean, yes.
Tune in.
All the time. I did catch a full wee in a plastic cup
on
the aeroplane the other day. Not mine.
Not yours, Joe's.
Team. Not Joe's. No, we're little ones because of the turbulence.
Can you tell me how wee is caught?
Well, there was severe turbulence and she suddenly went to do a wee and I've obviously offered her a wee for a very long time and she said no. And well, there's a mantra in our house which is fannies are amazing, which came because, God, actually, I don't want to say, if I say these things then, like, when she gets older, she'll sue me, but...
Because everyone be, when, well, by the time
there was
she's
a
older,
comment about
everyone
how,
be listening
yeah,
to them.
Of course,
this will be
this
like
is going to be enormous.
The Bleak House.
No, but there was a whole thing podcast. We said about, like, how, you know, you have to wipe your bum and your fanny, otherwise it gets really smelly. And, you know, so we always said that, like, that's what, you know, obviously, like, that's why you wipe, because you don't want it to get smelly. Like,
yeah,
you know, you've always got to wipe. And then, no.
Oh,
and then
sorry.
We were talking about babies, and I was like, I've got to tell her that babies come out of. Because what's that whole thing about coming through the belly button? That's just so weird. So I was like, she said, where does the baby come? I said, it comes out of your fanny. And she went, so smelly. What did the wipe? Did you wipe? And I was like, oh, God. Because we'd be going on about that. So I panicked and I was like, no, listen. Fannies are amazing. They are amazing because they can have babies. You just got to keep them, you know, like with anything, like with bums, like with willies, you just got to keep them nice and clean. But they are amazing. So now, quite often, Elsie will just look at me and sort of slightly cautiously say, fannies are amazing. And quite often in public, she'll say, fannies are amazing. But anyway, at the moment on the aeroplane, she said she needed to do a wee. She was like, no, I can't. And I said, here's a cup. And I'd had like two Bloody Marys and gin and tonic. And I was like, oh, fuck, here we go. Right, let's do this. And I said, got her to crouch. And I was like, you can do this because fannies are amazing. And she was like, fannies are amazing. And then she crouched her little self over this cup and she pissed. And I was like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And literally it stopped at the very, very top. And people were turning and looking at us, and then I was like, you see, Elsie, fannies are amazing. She went, they are amazing. And then I handed it to Joe, who then had to hold during the turbulence this entirely full cup. And then someone said she was a bit dehydrated, which I took great offence at because it was so yellow. I was like, that's such an inappropriate comment. But
also,
anyway,
that's what weird. You focus
that's
on?
That's what you focus on, yeah. The dehydration of
yeah,
my
right.
incredible
sure,
daughter who did that perfectly yeah. without anything going anywhere.
Was she quite pleased with herself?
She was so pleased.
Really good. That's really good.
But yeah, but she now does say that to lots of people.
Fanny, well, Fanny's
she said,
amazing.
Willy's, no, but Fanny's
Willy's, I mean,
yeah, that's what she said.
You're all right, yeah.
And then she's telling kids at nursery that babies come out of Fanny's, which apparently you're not allowed to know.
Why?
Well, I don't know, because apparently they come out through like a tiny little hole in your belly button because people are terrified of telling their kids that they come out, you know.
Is that true?
Yes. They don't. People. They don't know it. It really pisses me off because it's like, no, she's got to know how amazing her body is.
Yeah, how weird. So then, what's the age where you then have to tell them?
Well, I don't know. But do you remember that thing of like sort of a weird secret about how babies are made or how you? Yeah. It's like a weird secret thing. I mean, maybe I'll find out why soon.
Someone will go, and then you go, oh shit, that's a really good reason.
Yeah, oh, that's why, damn it. Then it comes out of your belly button.
But also, the belly button amazing. More painful.
I mean,
because there ain't no hole.
Massive baby coming out of your belly button is so traumatic.
Yeah. It's like, I remember watching, there was a show on in the 80s called V. Do you remember that?
Mm.
It was really dark. I mean, it was really kind
I don't
of horrible.
Remember it.
Yeah, because you wouldn't have watched it because it was horrible. Although that's why I ask you, because actually you were the kind of child, I think, who probably would have ended up watching it.
Was it a late night show?
It was like a late night show that my mum would record and not in any way hide the video or in any way like put any rules on it. And I remember watching it about 8, and there was a scene, and it was all about aliens infiltrating, you know, kind of human life.
Yeah.
And they'd kind of... they'd look like humans, but then you'd scratch their skin and then they'd be like scaly kind of lizard underneath. You'd realise they were an alien.
Gosh.
And this woman, this is my first like idea of giving birth, 8 years old, watching V, obviously as you do. Mm. Don't know where my mum was. Watching this on TV, woman giving birth in scene. They're very worried that the babies are going to be aliens. So they take the first baby out, and it's a normal baby. Thank God. Everyone's so pleased. Then it's followed, because no one realised, by basically a kind of lizard animal that kind of bursts of her. Sarah's nodding, so you've seen this.
You've seen it.
Like, bursts out of her womb,
yeah.
And everyone dies, basically. And that was my introduction.
Stay in your head? And you still had two.
Oh, I can still... Yeah, I still had two.
But that didn't happen.
Natural home birth. Yeah. It didn't happen, though, on either occasion.
Wow.
Yeah, but that was my first... I don't know why I said
Oh, my
that
God,
way.
That is so traumatic.
It's
I thought,
horrible.
For some reason, I thought that babies... well, I don't know how this happened, but I did think you, like, chose your husband from, like, a glass case. They were in a glass case. At one point, I have an image.
Baby, you
no, I have an image of like a row of men in a glass case, and I could choose my husband. And same with the babies. But my parents, I can't believe they wouldn't have told me the truth. That you just get saddled with some dickhead and get pregnant.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but like, and they all were like Roger Moore, and I could like pick one, and then I could pick a baby as well. That in one, that's
in
like
in
a
many
weird
ways,
memory
that
I have
is
in my
how
head.
It's like.
I suppose that is exactly what it's like. They were all like
I used
Roger
to
Moore.
Play. Do you remember Game of Life? The little car with the little like
no.
go around the board. It was their board game, and you'd have like little, you know, pink. You'd be. I'd be in the pink. I'd be a pink stick in a car, and then if you got married, you'd have a blue stick in the car. I mean, you know, that would change anything I'm doing now. But then you'd roll a dice, and sometimes you'd have kids, and sometimes you wouldn't. And genuinely, when I played it, I sort of thought it was some kind of like portentous, like
this would be,
I'm going to have two boys.
Oh God, yeah,
you know, whatever.
But that's all you're looking for, isn't it? You're always looking for like psychic meaning and everything,
yes,
aren't
that's
you?
That's true. That is true. That is true. What would you tell your pregnant self if you were able to go back in time? What would you say?
You see, I went through a phase of feeling really grumpy that no one tells you stuff, and then I have now gone past that to like, you just find it all out. So I don't know is the truth. There was a period where I would have gone, I would have said this, and I'd have gone that, and I'd have gone freeze some sanitary towels, put them in the freezer, and then do this. Like, it would be mostly about the first few weeks, yeah, probably. Yeah, it would be like, take the help. But then now I've sort of gone, I don't know if I can answer that without thinking about it for a long time, or I've sort of gone back to the point of, like, it all just kind of unfolds. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, because I don't think you could tell. I don't know if it would help. I don't know what would help.
You wouldn't listen to yourself.
I don't think I'd listen to myself. And I don't know. I'd be like, shut up, yeah, smug Daisy down the line.
Yes.
Leave me alone. Let me just, yeah, let me just let experience me this on myself. My own. Because, yeah, I kind of think that is the truth of it.
Yes.
Is it just unfolds and it's different every day. Yeah, that's the main thing, is what friends, nice friends tell you, isn't it? That, you know, if you're having a shit day, it'll probably be different tomorrow. If you're, yeah, having a really good day, I'm really sorry, but probably, yeah, shit tomorrow. And kids get sick a lot. Sorry about that.
Yeah, yeah.
No one tells you that bit. Yeah, they get sick all the time. But that's okay. You really love them, so that'd be fine.
And as you say, if they told you, yeah, would you listen?
Yeah,
would
I don't know. What would you tell your pregnant self?
Well, funnily enough, I had sort of a different, sort of, you know, my births were okay.
Yeah.
But then I had real problems breastfeeding and then couldn't eventually. Yeah. And I remember focusing so much on the birth and what that was going to be like.
Yeah, there's too much focus on the
birth. That I never thought beyond that. And then suddenly I was hit by this really hard thing that went on for ages and ages and ages, you know. So, yeah, that I guess I would go, you know, and, you know, yeah.
But would you listen to yourself? Because the truth is you're so hormonal and exhausted and you want to do this thing. As in, like...
Yes,
in,
no, you're right.
That, the point being that I completely agree with you. I think there's all this focus on the birth because that's all you can handle. And then you couldn't really... probably there's a reason why there's not big classes on the first 6 months of having kids, because you probably wouldn't absorb it because you're...
No, exactly.
It's like, well,
you
probably...
You deal with it as it comes.
Yeah, I think so. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I spent 4 hours a day in the last... you know, having, just having Wendy pumping, expressing, not pumping up, but people keep telling me that's different, has a different connotation. So I must stop saying that. I said it a lot. I pumped for 4 hours a day, guys. No, I expressed for 4 hours a day. And I probably now would go, look back and go, I didn't need to do that. That was intense. Right, yeah. I was really, like, tired.
Yeah.
Why? But I was just like, you must give breast milk, even though it's really hard. Like, you know, I sort of look back at that. But then,
but also
I
that
had to
was
do
probably,
it.
Yeah,
you know?
And that was like, probably something that made, that got you through, because you decided that that thing was the most important thing you could do. And that, and then therefore it was right.
I think all I try and say to mates or people is just keep telling them how amazing they are.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's that really, isn't it? And just if you need anything, if you're feeling shit, it's okay. Yeah. Like, there's someone else who's felt shit. I felt shit. Like, whatever. Just talk to your friends and just know that what you're doing is so, it's amazing, and you should feel really, like, proud of yourself.
Not very true, I
suppose.
I went to go and see a breastfeeding expert when I couldn't breastfeed, talking of pumping, and she...
Expressing.
Yeah, and she said, she looked at my boobs and she said, basically, I just don't think they work. And she said, if you were a cow, you'd be slaughtered.
That is the most horrific thing anyone could say to you.
That was, I think, about probably 2 weeks in Zach's life. So you imagine, like, remember how you felt at that point.
It's just the most awful thing anyone could ever say to you. How could someone with that job say that?
It was so awful.
It's kind of funny.
And it was so gutting, but it was so extreme, it was almost funny. And then also, in a weird way, it just let me off the hook. And it just meant that I could just get on with it.
Fuck yourself.
Yeah, I mean...
Bring out the formula.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
well, if they don't work, what can I do?
Oh, my God.
What's the worst bit of advice anyone's ever given you?
That's really hard. I can't remember it. Do you have one?
I remember two people telling me categorically when I was pregnant with Zach, I knew I was having a boy, and they said, the one thing you've got to remember when you have a boy is when you put his nappy on, you need to point the willy down so it doesn't pick, because otherwise the wee comes out of the nappy, because... It's like having a little shooter that kind of basically is always having a wet, you know. I was like, oh, okay, great. And then another person said about a week later, the one thing you've got to remember with the boys, you always got to have the willy pointing downwards. Otherwise, it's basically complete opposite advice.
And that's when I just thought, well, I'm going to find out, aren't I, really? Yeah. And
this I don't think there's one, like, really bad bit of advice I got, actually, that I can distinctly remember.
No.
I feel like people said shocking things to me. Like, I was really pregnant. The guy at the newsagent said, oh, they're definitely going to cut you. In front of loads of people. One had just recognised me from something, and I was like, great, everyone's thinking about my vagina being cut. Lovely to see you. I'll have The Guardian. Thank you very much.
Goodbye. You said that just by looking at your...
Yeah, yeah. In fact, two people did. Someone else saw me in Sainsbury's, and they looked at how the size of my stomach in relation to my hips and said that. So that's not advice. That's just amazingly invasive comments. But it actually genuinely made me really laugh. Because I was like, wow. So that's the only thing. But in terms of advice about parenthood, I don't think there was something that stands out as, like, the worst.
So how do you think yourself, your inner, the inner Daisy, whatever, whoever that is, has been shaped in the last few years from having children?
I think that I used to function on a sort of hyper energy of anxiety, of sort of like stress, smoking too many fags, drinking too much booze, running around worrying about things like how I looked, or whether I was eating enough, or sort of eating too much, or like what my next job was going to be, or like who was I, and like was my hair like okay like that. And then I think that having kids, just all that's just gone, and I don't function on that that sort of hype, that sort of anxiety anymore. I function in such a different way because it doesn't fit. Like, it doesn't fit with what I have to do now. Yeah. So if I have any moment where I feel a bit like, oh, jittery or something, it just doesn't sit as well with being a parent, if that makes sense. Yeah. It used to be how I was fueled. It was like nicotine and stress.
Yeah, yeah.
And then so I sort of feel like there's a liberation to just not giving a shit about lots of the things I really gave a shit about. Because lots of things that I personally gave a shit about were probably not that important. Not that having a kid has suddenly made me a much more important person, because it really, really hasn't at all. It's just that for me, it was quite good because it shed some of the crap. Because when you are an actor or like a creative who's not working all the time, you have more time to sort of think about yourself, or, you know, you just have more time to indulge yourself. So I think having a kid has made me focus more on the things I actually need to do and worry less about some of the other stuff. And as a result, you know, I could probably go get my muff wax. I could probably do with the muff wax.
That was the amazing Daisy Haggard there, bookending our chat with a talk about her vaginal area. Thank you, Daisy, for talking about your vaginal area, but also for coming to talk to me. That was the door slamming as my children come home with Anna, who is looking after them this afternoon. I've got to stay very quiet so they don't know I'm here. I'm already under the duvet, so I'm pretty sure they're not going to hear me, but I'm going to keep quite quiet. I wonder how many other people hide from their own children, but I am one of those people. I have bits of vegan banana bread sort of stuck to the roof of my mouth, having just been to this hipster cafe. And it looked nice on the counter, I have to say. I mean, I've contemplated becoming a vegan a few times, and more so recently. And I looked at that, and it was alarm bells, I'll be honest, when it said it was a vegan banana bread. And I thought, come on, don't be a dick. Just have it. It looks really nice. Big mistake. It's going to set back my vegan journey 20 years. Anyway, I apologise for the slightly negative chat at the beginning and end of this podcast. I hope you enjoyed Daisy. Next week, in 2 weeks' time, I'll be talking to Fergus Craig, writer, the person behind Tips for Actors Twitter handle, performer, improviser, really incredibly, incredibly talented person, and father, hence his qualification for this podcast. He will be talking in the next episode, and I hope you stay well and happy until then. Thank you.
Bye-bye.